Welcome to this episode of Spotlight on Heritage on Soar Sound. I'm Rob Watson, and on Saturday the 21st of March, we were at Leicester University for the Heritage Hub, and we spoke to a lot of the exhibitors and the people coming to talk about their projects, and we thought we'd share that with you to get a better idea of what kind of heritage activities there are around Leicester and Leicestershire.
Hi there, how are you guys?
We're fine, thank you. We're enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it today. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And who am I here with? Can you just tell me your name and what exactly you're doing here today?
We are from University of Leicester Archaeological Services, and today we have some activities for children and grown-ups if they want to join in too. We have a dig box here where you can have a go at looking for stuff. We have a rot or not activity, so have a look at our display and decide what you think would survive in the ground and what would disappear to be found many years later. We also have a display of artifacts. We've got Roman pottery. We have animal bone and some preserved seeds. So our theme for today is Roman food in Leicester. So you can have a look and follow through looking at our artifacts, what kind of food people are eating, what kind of vessels they used in preparation and for dining, and what things do survive in the ground and what things don't.
That sounds very intriguing. All these artifacts, have they been collected over the past couple of years? Are they recent?
These have been collected over many years. We've been part of the university for a long time, over 30 years now. And so it's a combination of material that has formed part of our teaching collection. We work very closely with the School of Heritage and Culture. So it's a variety of things, most of which are artifacts from Leicester that have been found over very many years.
Wow, sounds exciting. Do you have any other recent projects that you guys are working on?
So at the minute, we've just finished excavating at Leicester Marketplace. So that was a massive dig there. And we found lots of interesting medieval finds as well as Roman finds. And they're now in our labs getting processed and washed and going to be sent off to specialists, which is really cool. So yeah, that's all to look forward to in the future.
How do you feel about that?
I'm really excited to look at this kind of stuff, and I'm part of the social media team with the University of Leicester, and I get to have a look at this stuff and take photos of it, which is really cool.
So what's the most exciting part about working for the Archaeological Services at Leicester?
Basically what we see, and when we're digging in the ground, you get to experience like totally new discoveries, which is not something that you get to see with just history. So like every time you dig in the ground, you find things that have not been there or not been seen for about 2,000 years, which is one of the cool things that you get to do when you're digging. So yeah, really enjoy that.
It was lovely meeting you. Very exciting hearing about everything that we Archaeological Services are doing for the uni, all the finds. Do you have any final comments before we sign off?
We're here until 4 o'clock today. Come and visit us. We've got lots and lots of things for people to see, and there's lots of other exciting stalls to have a look at as well. People making new things, showing people how we wove fabrics in the past and made leather. There's activities for children. It's going to be a really good afternoon.
Okay, what's your name and what business are you here with today?
My name is Ahmed, and I'm the founder of the Silk Road Coffee Company, and that's something we started here at the university, and we're still continuing it from that when we started.
That's cool. Can you talk about starting a business in university and what was that like?
To be honest, the university was really supportive, more than I expected, and that sort of set the foundation for us to be successful. We've got on display here a trophy at a very prestigious event, along with sort of other endeavours that we took, always with the support of the university. Anyone starting a business at uni, I would highly encourage them to just go for it. And the uni is there to support them as well.
What's inspired your business idea? Obviously, it's quite heritage themed, so what inspired that?
Well, coffee started as a sort of drink between tribes, and now it's, you know, one of the biggest drinks in the world. Just that story of how it's become such a big thing is really inspiring to myself. So our whole mission is to talk about the Silk Road, talk about the story of coffee, and just get the word out there.
Do you think that food is one of the most important parts of heritage? Because I think I do.
100%. I mean, since, you know, the dawn of time, it's been a way of sharing. So I think, yeah, food and drink, it brings people together. And that's what we're all about, bringing the world together, bean by bean, as we say.
Oh, that's really cool. What is your favorite coffee out of all the coffees that you offer?
Well, we've got one here called the Anatolian Elixir. It's all about Anatolia, which is modern day Turkey. And people who are into coffee would know, like, Turkey is a very big coffee loving country. And at one point they used to treat it like a really important commodity, where women would be able to divorce their husbands if they weren't able to provide enough coffee. Yeah, I think that roast and the stories with the Anatolian Elixir is my favourite.
That's really cool. Have you spoken to anyone else? And if so, who are you excited to see, or who have you been excited to hear from?
Yeah, there is a store here all about natural fibres. And that's something that sounds really interesting to myself. Because partly we're looking at sort of bags and things that we can use made of natural materials rather than using paper and things. So that's been really interesting.
That's really cool. Thank you.
Hi, what's your name and what are you doing here exactly?
I'm Naomi and I'm a Heritage Hub ambassador.
Ooh, Heritage Hub ambassador. So what do you do exactly?
So I help out at Heritage Hub events, helping with the stall holders and kind of directing the public, but it also gives me a chance to network with people as well.
Ooh, very interesting. So what have you been doing today? What's the best part?
The best part has probably been... it's actually quite tough. I think it's just seeing all of the different people who are invested and passionate about heritage coming to one place and kind of talking with each other and getting a chance to go around and seeing different groups that are based around Leicestershire in the Midlands.
Well, that sounds lovely. I don't really know what else to ask. You want to go ahead and do it as well?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
You did good. You did good.
How do you feel?
Good, yeah.
You feel very proud.
I feel like it's easier to start with university stuff because I feel like that's less daunting.
That is true, actually. Yeah, that is true, actually. Do you want to interview some others? She just left.
Hello?
I am. Would you be open to being interviewed?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, that sounds great. So, what is your name?
Benjamin.
And Benjamin, so what do you do at the uni?
Museum studies, masters.
Oh, and what are you doing here today?
I'm helping out with the Heritage Hub, so helping to deliver the event.
And what does that mean exactly? What do you do here to help deliver the event?
So we're helping to coordinate people, helping to set up the event, assist anyone with anything they might need, basically.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, having a great time. Thank you.
What's the best part?
Best part is talking to the stall holders and hearing what everyone's getting up to, hearing what projects are going on, hearing what everyone's interests are, learning a lot. Yeah.
Well, that sounds nice. Which project have you been most interested in now?
Well, I've just been chatting to the people at ULAS, the University of Leicester Archaeology Services, and they've been telling me about what their stall is, the things that you can learn from the materials they've got. Really, really interesting. Yeah.
Maybe I should interview them as well now.
Look, they're great.
Okay, will do. Thanks, Benjamin. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you very much. Enjoy.
That's great. How do you feel, by the way? How do you feel about this?
Yeah, I feel good. I think it's a really good event. I think it's a really good opportunity for everyone to come in together. You know, all these people who otherwise wouldn't be in the same room, they're all in the same room. They can meet each other, share ideas, plan events, things like that. Really, really special opportunity. Yeah.
Nice. Great to hear that. Wayne, thank you for your time.
Hi, what's your name and what organisation are you with?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Beth. I'm Outreach and Engagement Coordinator for the Leather Conservation Centre.
And what does that role entail, being...
Yeah, so we are a conservation studio. We're a charity in the centre of town. So we're on Duke Street in the new Canopy building, which is the sister building to LCB Depot. And we take in objects from internationally, really, from private clients, museum collections. So conservation is one of the sort of prongs of what we do. Another one is education and outreach. So I put together our events programme. So we offer free open studios every month, on the last Thursday of every month. People can come in, check out the space, see what we're working on, see what we're conserving. But also within the sort of heritage sector, there are a lot of skills that are at risk of dying out if they're not passed on. So what we try and do through taster sessions, but also like multi-day workshops as well, is sort of create the opportunity for people to come in, try those skills, and make something to take home. But equally, so we do everything from taster sessions right up to continued professional development courses. So for people that are accredited conservators or heritage professionals as well, so we try and offer something for everyone.
And is this open to all ages, or do you have a specific target audience that you like to work with?
Yeah, sure. So our events programme, we have an Instagram, if I can plug that, if that's cool. So it's just at Leather Conservation. So we try and do a host of events, really. Some of those are family friendly. Some of them have a minimum age limit, just because of the types of tools are used. Sometimes quite sharp tools, as you can imagine, with leathercraft. But yeah, we try and offer something for all ages as well. Yeah.
And do you have any specific parts of leather crafting or conservation that you particularly like or enjoy?
So something that I would say, like, in terms of a specific object, I'm just trying to think. So one that we have on display, you can see here, but obviously isn't transmissible. But so we have this amazing globe cover that people can come and see. So the sort of antique globes, the wooden globes. It's a really sort of elaborate, beautifully decorated globe cover. That's one of my favourite objects that we have in right now. But one of the really exciting things about Open Studios is we have objects coming in and out all the time. So the rate at which we see new objects come in is just really lovely. So if people sign up for the Open Studio 1 month, if they sign up the next month, we have, you know, completely different objects in, really. So yeah, I would say also Seeing all different objects is really cool as well. Yeah.
And if you have any advice for people who maybe want to give it a try but are scared, what would you tell them?
So I would say is that what we try and do is we try and make heritage, whether that's crafts or coming in for lectures or things like that, we try and make it sort of accessible for everyone. Something that's really cool about our organisation is that conservation is something that has typically been hidden away, sort of often in areas of museums that are closed off, really, so it's not something that the public can come and see. But the exterior of our building, as you can see here, it's like fully glass. So we have our events program on the outside, and then also you can sort of view the studio through Public, the cafe and Canopy. So if people want to come, even if they're too sort of nervous to come on Open Studio, you can actually see us working from outside. I'd say don't be scared, come in. If you want to just sort of check us out before you want to sign up for a taster day, maybe, I feel like Open Studios are the best way to do that, and it's free as well. So yeah.
And do you have any upcoming events or like places that you're going to be, or events that are happening at the studio?
Yeah, sure. So we have our Open Studios are a recurrent thing, so they're on the last Thursday of every month from 2 till 3. They're free to book on Eventbrite. Upcoming as well, we have a seasonal leather school for the spring. So that's a multi-day event from the 6th to the 10th of April. It's from 10 till 4 every day. That's run by someone called Andy Bates. He's sort of really, really big in the sort of leathercraft community, so that'll be facilitated by him. And what else do we have coming up? I think our events programme will be updated more. We'll have our next 3 months of events from April, so people keep an eye out on our socials.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. Hi, what's your name and what organisation are you with?
My name is Karem Sitindamar, and I'm here with Leicester Museums and Galleries and our colleagues from Visit Leicester, the Tourist Information Bureau.
Okay, great. Is this your first heritage event, or is this your, have you been here before?
I've been here before, and it looks even busier, and there's even more people here than last time I came. It's brilliant.
That's great. Have you been able to talk to anyone interesting, organise anything interesting?
Yes, no, I've been chatting to some of the visitors, not the other organisations yet, but I'm going to plan to go around and have a look at everything. People seem really excited to be here on a lovely sunny day as well.
That's great. Are you here promoting anything in particular, any upcoming events?
We have, there's always upcoming events at Leicester Museums, there's all sorts going on, but we are here just generally, myself and my colleague, promoting a bit about the work we do online and what you can see online with Leicester Museums, and also what we provide for schools, handling boxes, real artifacts that kids can get their hands on. So yeah, a bit of everything.
Do you have anything that you want people to look out for, anything that you want people to know in particular that you offer? Is there anything specific, basically, or anything you think that is especially cool that you want to point out?
I do, yes. It opened about 8 months ago, and that's the new Jewellery Wall Museum in Leicester. It's been, it had a huge transformation, restoration project, and it's absolutely fantastic experience. So if you get the chance, then get yourself down there.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Hi, what's your name and what organisation are you here with?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Kelly McCormack and I work for the advancement team at the University of Leicester.
And what do you do within the advancements team?
So we are here today to kind of promote our new fundraising campaign, which is called 2121 Founders of the Future. And we're fundraising for various projects across the university. And as part of that fundraising campaign, we have a pillar called Culture, where we're trying to fundraise for various heritage projects, but one of them being student heritage ambassadors.
That's great. Do you have any future fundraising events coming up or any ways that people can get involved?
Yeah, so one of the biggest events that we have this year is our Alumni Awards Dinner, which happens in May. It's going to be on the 14th of May in Leicester, and all alumni are invited to come in and buy some tickets. But if anybody wants some more information, they can just email alumni@leicester.ac.uk.
Are there any big projects within the university or around Leicester that people will recognise you being a part of or that you've raised money for in the past? It could be anything. It could be anything. Or even something that's coming up or that you're currently raising money for, obviously.
So all of the research projects in the university will come under the four pillars, which are planet, culture, people and health. So there's various things that we're raising money for. And we actually have a website, 2121, on the University of Leicester website, which kind of details everything that we're doing.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Can I first get your name and what you're doing here today?
Certainly. My name is Mia Bashir and I am a letterpress artist. And letterpress is listed as an endangered craft and it has a really strong heritage. So most people might be familiar with letterpress because it was used to print books and newspapers until probably around the 1980s. But since then, it's become increasingly difficult to learn how to print using letterpress. And in fact, nowadays, there are no courses available that will teach you all of the skills and techniques that you need. And so I'm just really trying to promote interest in it and hope that people get as excited about it as I am.
Wow, that sounds lovely. How did you get into this?
I used to work at Leicester Print Workshop and they have metal type and wood type, and I did a very brief introductory course and got hooked. I've worked as a curator for most of my career and have written a lot about art, and so those two things came together, writing and using letterpress to make it tangible, to create objects from text. So I grew up in Coventry and it really strongly influenced the person I became, and Coventry, it was very well known for its industries. So starting out many years ago with wool, thread, ribbon making, weaving, all developed one from another. There was a very strong bicycle trade, and then that led to the car industry. So Coventry was a very adaptable place, responding to changes around it. And my work is looking at that history. So I was fascinated how one industry led to another industry. So the wool industry led to the thread, the needles and pins. The metal from that then was used to then create machines. And so I've created a letterpress piece that shows that interconnectedness of all those different industries. And then another work that I created is looking at the car heritage. And there's a really amazing transport museum in Coventry. And I love the shape of the Aston Martin. And of course, it's very well known because it was featured on lots of James Bond films. So I've written about when the car was featured in the film and created an image of the car through the text. So I'm interested in intangible heritage as well. So how language changes and different kinds of language that's used for different things. So I've created a piece around football and football commentary because it's really iconic. I mean, everybody knows it's a game of two halves. It's become a bit cliched now, but what's been really lovely is the success of the women's football team and being able to introduce women footballers in the language and just see how that shifted again. So, yeah, I'm fascinated in language, its use, how it changes over time.
Wow, that sounds very, very lovely. There's a lot of interesting projects you've worked on. Are there any more exciting new projects that you're working on in the future or planning on working on?
Well, interesting you should ask that because I have just picked up a catalogue that lists all the streets in Leicester and where the names came from. So that has given me a whole new inspiration to create a new artwork that will focus on the streets through the image of one of Leicester's iconic buildings. Yet to be decided which building, but I think it will be focused on which streets have got really interesting histories.
So a lot of research in store for you.
Oh, absolutely. I find it fascinating how the heritage that is all around us, we can take for granted. But just looking at it differently or with fresh eyes, it suddenly we realise how relevant it is to us.
It's just all about that exposure, isn't it? It's all about that exposure to heritage, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it's just so valuable, our history and where we come from. It's just really important. It makes us who we are.
That is very, very true. It was lovely to meet you, Mia. Do you have any final comments before we sign off?
Just would really encourage everybody, if you've got time, to connect with some of these amazing organisations because there is a wealth of fascinating history here.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Let me just start by asking for your name and what you're doing here today.
So my name is Rachel and I'm from LU Arts at Loughborough University.
LU Arts, so what exactly is this?
So LU Arts is the university's extracurricular arts programme. So lots of universities will have an arts centre. So Leicester has, for example, the Attenborough Arts Centre. We're very similar in terms of the programme that we run, but we don't have our own dedicated building. We use different spaces on campus at Loughborough and sometimes in the town centre as well. We're all about trying to engage the students and staff at the university with the arts and doing something creative in their spare time, but also opening up our events programme to members of the local community where we can.
That sounds very enriching, both for students and the members of the community. How did you get into this, actually?
Sorry, how do I... So I've worked in the arts and arts marketing for a long time. I live in Loughborough, and so when this opportunity came up that was right on my doorstep, it was a perfect match for me. I'm really interested in seeing how people can keep up their interest in the arts, even if it's not something that they want to study, but seeing all the benefits that that can bring. So in terms of your well-being and just developing a really broad portfolio of skills and experience, I think it's really important.
So did you start off as an artist as well then?
No, I mean, I dabble in like amateur dramatics and that kind of thing. More on performing arts side was my background, but I didn't study art. I just believe in the power of art bringing people together, creating community and making people feel better about themselves and contributing to their well-being. I just find it a really rewarding sector to work in.
Wow, sounds like it, yes. When you say performing arts, do you mean you were an actor or a dancer?
Not professionally at all. Just, you know, like lots of people in my youth, I did dance, went to a dance school, and I've been involved in like the local amateur dramatic scene in my time. Still involved in a Gilbert and Sullivan Society that's based in Shepshed now. So more singing and performing is the kind of thing that I enjoy in my spare time, but definitely not professionally.
That sounds exciting. So what have you been doing more recently then?
So the Gilbert and Sullivan group that I'm involved in, they had celebrated their 60th anniversary last year. So we had a production of The Yeomen of the Guard and we're working on a concert. And then in terms of professionally, I really enjoy working with and supporting some of the students at the university that are trying to carry on their art in their spare time. So we have things like scholarships to support them. We have a student team that work for us on a casual basis, and getting to know them and helping them gain really valuable experience is rewarding.
I'm sure the students find it quite rewarding as well.
So sort of individual events and things that we've got, we have lots of things that are open, as I said, to members of the public. So at the moment we're just working towards a showcase performance in May that our art scholars for this year will put on. So we've got a dancer, a singer who sings with the university's big band jazz group Tuxedo Swing, we've got a rapper, and we've got a portrait artist and a creative writer who actually writes, English is her third language, and she's writing in English kind of memoir and reflection pieces. So we're supporting that really diverse group of students to in funding things that will help them develop their talent, but also looking at what they're going to do in their showcase event. We've just commissioned some students to do video diaries for us that about their progress towards the degree show that the School of Design and Creative Arts will be doing in June. So that's always exciting to see the final year outcomes from those courses. And then just a busy program of lunchtime exhibitions and National Theatre live screenings and lots of other events that are happening.
It's a broad range of things you're working on. All sounds very, very exciting. It's quite amazing, actually, the amount of things that you are working on. Yeah. Do you have any final comments?
Just, I'd encourage people to check out both what we've got at Loughborough University, but also what the town's doing. They're really trying hard in Loughborough to bring people into the town centre, putting on lots of great events and festivals, and there's lots more going on than I think people realise. So I would definitely encourage people to come and have a look.
That sounds great. I'm sure the public would love to do that.
The Weird Border Morris, and we've been invited here to this Celebrate Heritage event to show some of English's cultural heritage in the form of Morris dancing.
So what does that involve and how do you do it?
Okay, well, there's lots of genres of Morris dancing. People are most familiar with Cotswold, which is the white tops and trousers, baldricks and bells, and that comes from the Cotswold, Oxford sort of area. Our style of dancing is called border, which comes from the English-Welsh borders. Then there's also Northwest Morris, which follows the clog traditions and processions from Lancashire and the Northwest. And then in East Anglia, you have Molly dancing. There's also Garland dancing. So Morris isn't one single identity. It's about five or six different styles. And it includes things like the Obby Horse in Padstow and events like that.
What are the kind of roots, the deeper, you know, the kind of longer term roots? Where does it come from?
That nobody is 100% certain, but it does go back hundreds of years. Some of the early documentation is to do with either Morris dancers being paid to perform at a function and being paid in money or providing ale and cake for the dancers. Or the other bit is maybe if they've got into a little bit of trouble and danced where they shouldn't and they appeared before some judiciary a few hundred years ago. There was quite a strong tradition before the First World War. A lot of it was collected by Cecil Sharp just after the turn of the century in the 1901, etc., and Mary Neal. There was a little bit of a lull after the First World War because so many of the dancers were lost from a village. And there's tales of people saying, well, we'd love to carry on, but my uncle would be dancing there, my brother would be with me, and it was just too painful. So there was a bit of a lull, but in the 70s and 80s, there was a huge revival, and it's still evolving. It's not a fixed tradition. People are creating new dances. There are lots of young new sides. Boss Morris comes to mind because they accompanied a famous pop act on some stage, which I've forgotten the name of, but they've brought it back into the modern world. And if you're interested in quirky cinema, there's a film that's just been released in places like the Phoenix, the Broadway, and some cinemas called Mother's Pride. And it links two wonderful things, Morris dancing and real ale.
So you don't mind being paid in cake and beer then?
No, we don't mind being paid in cake. Normally cake and tea these days because of people driving. I think the beer side of it's probably, for some people, not as important as it might have been when you walked to your local pub in your local village, danced all day, got thirsty, drank lots and walked home. But we absolutely love it.
So how did you get into this?
Well, back in the mid-70s, I met my husband, who was at the time, had danced with the Coventry Morris, and then he was dancing with Northampton Men, and I started playing in the band. And when we went to King's Lynn, I became a dancer with Ring of Bells, and he was with King's Men. And then we had a bit of a lull, because we decided we wanted to do it together. And when Way of the Weird set up, it was for men and women, for anybody, and it was in border style, which is slightly more chaotic. There's a lot more whooping and cheering and people expressing more of their individuality, whereas Cotswold and Northwest are what they're brilliant at is everybody doing exactly the same thing with the same angle at the same height when they leap at the same time. Border's a little bit more carefree, if you like, but it speaks to a brilliant form of exercise, not only for the body but also for the mind. And it's fun, it's sociable, so what could be better?
Just describe what everybody was wearing.
Right, well, tatters is a traditional thing from the border tradition, so we wear things like waistcoats or shirts or coats to which we attach long strips of fabric. Some of them are pretty tatty now because our side's been going just over 15 years. Some look a little smarter because they're newer. So our colours are mainly black with some purple and a hint of silver. And that's one of the reasons I joined it, because my wardrobe was full of black and purple. But it's great.
And what are you looking forward to in the summer? Because this must be the season now, the spring
and
the summer.
We've started the season, and in April this year, we're having a day of dance in Loughborough to celebrate 15 years of dancing out. We couldn't celebrate our 10th anniversary because of COVID. And I know 15 isn't like 50 or 100, but it's important to us. So we've invited sides. We're having a reunion for old Way of the Weird members to come and meet us again and have a chat. So we're really looking forward to that. And then there's things like the Canal Festival, the Moira Furness Folk Festival, Lincoln. There's so many events. But if you get a chance, I would say, go along, give it a go. And because it's only in short bits, 2.5 to 3 minutes long, you don't need to sustain. It's not like 20 minutes on a treadmill. You don't have to take your clothes off like you're going swimming. You're not competing against the buff people in a gym. It's wonderful exercise and it's social and a hell of a lot of fun.
Hi there, how are you?
Hi, I'm all right. I'm fine, thank you.
Lovely. Can I just get your name and what you're doing here today.
I am Ben Donnelly-Symes, and I'm the curator at the Northamptonshire Archaeological Resource Centre, and we're displaying some of our objects. We're interlopers across the county borders now up in Leicestershire today.
Oh, lovely. Interlopers. So what do you do exactly?
So we look after all of the archaeological finds found in Northamptonshire. So we have a store where we have around about 24,000 boxes of archaeological objects, which are all made accessible to the public. So anyone is welcome to come and have a look at them. They can book in as a researcher or come on one of our tours. We're going to have a new museum space in our lobby, which should be finished in the next 2 weeks. So yeah, the idea is that the collections are there. We curate them, we look after them, catalogue them to make them accessible for the public.
Well, that sounds lovely. Do you have any new interesting finds lately?
Oh, sorry, say that again.
Did you have any interesting finds lately?
Yeah, so on the table we've got a few finds, but yeah, we've got thousands of finds in the store. But on the table we've got a Roman pot with the worst gladiator you're ever going to see painted on it. We've got some Roman wall plaster. We have a Paleolithic axe, which is over 100,000 years old, that would have been used by someone that was probably pre-Homo sapien. We have a Roman ear scoop for getting your earwax out of your ears. We have a woolly rhino bone, an Anglo-Saxon brooch that was found in a burial, and yeah, all sorts of stuff, really. And a bum. There's a Roman bum that we have from a statue.
All looks and sounds great. How do you feel about being here today?
Sorry?
How do you feel about being here today?
Being here?
Sorry. Yeah, at the Heritage Hub event.
Oh, yes, so, yeah, no, it's great. It's a really good opportunity to show what we have and what we do and kind of engage with the public. I mean, that's why we exist, is to kind of allow people to see some of the objects that are found in our county. But it's also a really good opportunity to kind of work and network with other organisations who are doing similar things and potentially develop projects where we can work together on things. So yeah, it's a really good opportunity to showcase what we do.
Ooh, nice. Is there a recent project that you've worked on that you're pretty proud of?
So as I said earlier, we're currently in the middle of our redevelopment of our lobby. So previously our building had to be locked because we have lots of very valuable objects inside. But we are now creating a display space in our lobby, which will kind of explain a bit about what we do, have a window into the store so you actually be able to see into the store if you're just visiting the site kind of in passing, but also opportunities then to book up onto a tour and then come around the store. So that should all be done within the next 2 or 3 weeks. And then once that's done, then the public will be able to come in and actually see a bit more of what we do.
I'm sure that people will be glad to see that and learn more about it.
Well, also, I should say, yeah, we also have in the summer, we run a field school with the University of Leicester. So we're excavating on the Roman small town of Urchester, which is at the Chester House Estate in Northamptonshire. And people will be able to come down and see an excavation live in person. They're very welcome to pop down. And that takes place between the 15th of July, June and the 3rd of July. And then we also have our massive big event, which is a big free event, Roman Fest, where we have up to 5,000 people visiting the site, lots of stall holders with different crafts, reenactors, all sorts of different things, and that's on the weekend of the 25th and 26th of July. So that's a free event. Tickets will be going live from the 1st of April, so we just make sure you book a ticket so you can get in, but it's a free event, so yeah, so please come along.
Lovely, quite intriguing and possibly enriching as well. But thank you for your time. It was lovely meeting you.
Hi, what's your name and what business are you here with?
I'm Mandeep Dadiala and I'm an artist based in Leicester. I'm a printmaker, but I also do large flower paper installations.
How did you get into doing art and paper installations that you're doing here today?
So as a printmaker, my work is around creating botanical liner cut prints, which are influenced by growing up in Nairobi in Kenya and looking at the sort of the colour and the light play over there. And I've always wanted to make my work large scale. So an opportunity came about where I could enlarge my work and actually use paper in a different way and not in a two-dimensional way. When I was working with the Leicester Cathedral, I on a commission to make a swing inside the cathedral. So a lot of my work is very vibrant. So the flowers, they look like they're an explosion of my liner cut coming out of the paper. So they're quite big and very vibrant. So it's sort of like one feeds the other, and it's kind of why I kind of do what I do.
How have you found working at the festival today? I know it's early, but how have you found it so far?
Do you know, it's been really, really lovely, because what's been so beautiful at the moment, like initially to start off with, we had like 2 hours before it was open to the public where stallholders could talk to each other and we could, you know, engage with what they're doing, because it's not an opportunity you get to do normally when you're doing these events. So that's been a really nice way to start the day. And then, you know, slowly the public started to trickle in. And again, I think for me, it's always about conversation and hearing about people's stories, because everyone's got one. I find that really fascinating to hear, and just be together under this roof, I think, is fantastic.
Do you have any other big projects coming up or events that you'll be at?
At the moment, this garden wall will feature again in June at the Riverside Festival. And then their creative and well-being hub, which will be in the Castle Gardens. And people will come along, they can make a flower again and add it to the wall and just let that wall grow throughout the couple of days that throughout the day that we'll be there. In terms of my artist practice, I'm working on a project looking at the history of colour in conjunction with the University of Leicester and their SEM labs. And yeah, it's going to be it's a really beautiful project to work on at the moment.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you.
Is that right?
Okay, what's your name and what organisation are you here with?
So my name's Matthew. I am customer service assistant at the King Richard III Visitor Centre, but also Visit Leicester.
And what does that role entail?
Kind of promoting the city's kind of events. So the city has loads of festivals. There's always something going on in the city. There's lots of museums, different kind of galleries, stuff like that. So yeah, just promoting it, getting the kind of message out that there's so much to do in the city.
Anything in particular that you want to point out that you can do here in Leicester, or anything that's upcoming?
Coming up, so the Richford Visitor Centre, we've got our Easter half-term activities. So we've got Joe the Medieval Swordsman, so he can show you how to use swords from the medieval times. We've also got Jed, the medieval medic as well. So there's going to be some really good events there. And then coming up, we've got the Old Town Festival. So that's April the 25th. That's going to be really big stuff going across the city. So kind of mainly in the Old Town, but different kind of like craft markets, different historical reenactments. Yeah, it's going to be really good.
And you said the Easter events, are those like aimed for children or are they for all ages? Can anyone go?
There will be some kind of children's themed kind of activities, but it's for all ages. So yeah, Joe and Jed really know how to present it to kind of older groups as well.
And is there anything in particular that you're looking out for here at the Heritage event?
Talking to all the other people that are here, getting to know what their organisations do, and just realising how much heritage organisations there are in Leicester and how much there is to do.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay. Thank you. Hi, what's your name and what organisation are you here with today?
Yeah, my name is Raj Singh Mann and I'm representing the Sikh Museum Initiative. We're based in Leicester. However, the Sikh Museum Initiative is different because it's not a physical museum. It's an online virtual museum. And more than that, we have digitised a lot of artefacts which can be experienced in virtual reality. So it's very similar to the computer gaming technology, and even with the controllers, you can pick up artifacts from this period from around 1845 up till World War II, and it's a shared history of Anglo and Sikh history, and it explains the story of why in World War II, 30%, one-third of the British Army in World War II made up of Indian soldiers. And although this is a Sikh museum, all those soldiers weren't Sikhs. There was 1 million Muslims, 1 million Hindus. But Sikhs were 25 times oversubscribed because of this warrior kind of martial race of our religion, where we are able to defend ourselves. And the Sikhs that you see on the street with the turbans, my colleague here is wearing what we call a kirpan, which is a small ceremonial dagger, which is allowed under British law. This history explains why Winston Churchill during the war, if you were a Sikh, you had to wear a turban. And even now in this country, we can express our religion. We can wear a small dagger, a kirpan, legally because of our joint history, where we worked with soldiers from around the world, Canada, America, Africa, Caribbean, in our fight against fascism.
How did you, or why did you choose to start a virtual and VR a museum instead of a physical one? What influenced that decision?
That's a very good question. We don't often get asked that. So what it was that some of these artifacts, they're not in public display. They're in private collections because the jewellery and the value of them are really for private collectors. So we thought we had access to really good photography, and some of these collectors allowed us to photograph the artifacts. They wouldn't give us permission to even for a temporary exhibition. So we thought, right, how can we keep this history in perpetuity? So we decided to do a digital museum forum. And also, as you know, real museums are probably more interesting the older you get. And for a younger demographic, for a younger audience, doing it on experiencing artifacts on virtual reality, able to interact with them using the controllers, we found that the younger kids, especially from the age from 5 to 15, they think they're playing a computer game, but they're experiencing a museum. So it's a hook to get an interest in this part of the history.
I definitely agree. Do you think there's been any drawbacks to that, like with maybe attracting an older audience, or have you found that it's been mostly successful?
Overall, no, it's been hugely successful. We've been overwhelmed with amateur positive feedback we've had. I was in a school in Warwickshire a few months back, and there was a child, was a pupil about 14 years old, and he actually knew the history of one of the items, and he knew the Maharaja, and I was, I thought he must have stumbled across a YouTube video, but they actually teach it age 14. What year is that in school? Year 12 or something. And so now we're trying to get this history into the curriculum. So, for example, the Koh I Noor diamond, which was the largest uncut diamond in the world at the time, in 1849, it now sits in our Queen's crown. So Queen Camilla, it's in her crown. But the history of it, of how it was handed over or forced over, this pupil knew about it already. So we're trying to sort of do it in collaboration with schools, bring the history to life. The only drawbacks is that a very minority of people, it's usually the older people, the sort of my age bracket, where using VR can make them feel a bit dizzy, and that's just one of them things, but it is not that common. But with younger people, they absolutely love it. When I go to schools, I get long queues for people wanting to experience the history through this medium.
That's great. Do you have any common partners that you work with, especially when trying to get this into schools and spread education about this?
We have partnerships with various organisations, even real museums. So there's a famous, the biggest armories museum in the country is in Leeds. And I do encourage anyone to go there. It's just off the motorway. There's four or five stories of armories from around the world. And they were so impressed by one of our temporary stalls there that they asked us to fit an interactive screen there next to the real artifacts. So they thought it would be good that that especially the younger audience can play around with it with interactive screens, as well as see the real artifact as well. So we have partnerships with those museums. We go into schools. So like I was saying earlier, that when you have cultural days or history days, they invite us in, and the children can experience the artifacts using virtual reality, and then side by side with the traditionally taught syllabuses. So yeah, we have lots of partnerships.
And do you have any upcoming events where you're going to be at or that you're planning yourself?
Well, if you follow our social media, we're a Sikh Museum Initiative. You'll find us on Instagram, Facebook, I still call it Twitter, X, things like that. And we are in various places. Today we're here, we're very happy at the Heritage Festival at Leicester University. We've got a very strong partnership with Leicester University. We've got some joint projects in front of me here. There's a magazine from, what's this one from, 1803, the Illustrated London News. Leicester University have given us their resources to help uncover more history from the resources over here as well. Follow us on social media. We're out on a regular basis around the country and sometimes even internationally.
That's great. And do you have any research projects coming up that you would like to shout out or talk about?
We want people to really, you know, experience this history. It's available on our websites as well. We've got a website called the Anglo-Sikh Wars .co.uk. The Sikh Museum Initiative .org.uk as well. Do have a look on there. And then when we're at these events with our virtual reality, like today, we've got people from around the local area coming to experience it. And then you can invite us to schools and places and history festivals, local history groups as well, where we're happy to share the history. And we try and do it in a measured and balanced way, because what I found, especially when I was growing up, I was at the school in the 70s and 80s, and I was given a history from a certain perspective. And the contribution of international soldiers, of Indian soldiers, African, Caribbean, non-white soldiers, it wasn't really explained properly. In fact, it was probably suppressed because they wanted people to be thinking that it was just white people fighting the wars. But as I got older and realised my own family history, my contribution to world wars, I thought this undertold history needs to be told. But it can't be told in a negative way. It's still got to be quite balanced, and that's what we're trying to do. But we're trying to do it in a new exciting medium of virtual reality.
Thank you so much. That's really nice. Thank you.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Let me just first start by asking your name and what you're doing here today.
So my name's Josh Barker, and I'm here representing Space Park Leicester at the university's Heritage Hub event. So the university has got a really big space heritage, about 70 years of launching and building things to go into space. And so we sort of really represent not only what we've been doing, but also space is a big market that we're starting to play in. A lot of students that want to get involved in that area, and we're doing lots of work with companies as well. And Space Park Leicester is sort of the university's central hub and place to do just that.
Wow. So you say you're working with a lot of companies recently. So what are some projects that you are working on? What exactly do you do?
So we have a huge range. So yeah, we mentioned that we've got about 23 different companies that work inside the building, and that's alongside university projects, researchers, lecturers, students, and things like that. So a real opportunity for collaboration and working together, and that spawns loads of different projects. So for example, we've got a project at the moment on space nuclear power, so building nuclear power sources for satellites that are going deep into the solar system where things like solar panels don't work. So that's a really new market that we're trying to explore. We've also got big great science missions as well. So at the end of this year, we're going to see a mission called BepiColombo, which is heading to Mercury. It's going to use a special camera that was built here in Leicester by Leicester expertise to understand what the surface of that planet is like. So we do everything from planetary science through to Earth observation, so looking back at the planet and understanding our climate and our environment. And we've even just opened a new research centre that's looking at the societal impact on space. So how do people engage culturally, socially, what do we think of space, how does it affect them, rather than just the cool science experiments and things like that. So huge amount of stuff.
That all sounds very exciting and amazing, the amount of stuff that you're doing, especially going into space and taking on all these projects. Out of all these projects, which one do you think is your favorite?
Oh, that's a really difficult one. I think one of the things that I find the most exciting about my role in the job is I'm not attached to any one of those teams. So I look after skills training, so getting young people, recent graduates or some of our undergraduates, all the way through to, existing career professionals, training them up to give them the skills to work in that industry. I also get to do lots of events like these where I get to communicate and share what we're up to. So what I find really nice is I don't have to have a favorite. I get to bounce around every mission and every project, learn a little bit about what that amazing story. So that's for me one of the most exciting things. So for example, we're here talking about our general work, but in a month's time we've got another mission launching in conjunction with the Chinese Space Agency, so we'll get to talk about that for a while. So I guess my favorite is perhaps the next mission, because that's the next exciting project that I get to work on.
That sounds great. What are you doing exactly with the Chinese?
So that mission in particular is a mission called SMILE, which is going to look, it's going to orbit around the Earth, and it's going to look at the interaction between all the energy and radiation that comes from the sun and the Earth and its environment. So you might have seen the Northern Lights. They've been quite visible over the last few years, or people might have, you know, seen pictures of them, or, you know, gone on exciting trips. But that interaction is this energy interacting with our environment, our atmosphere. And we want to study that in detail because we need to know the effects that that could have on planet Earth. So this mission is a joint mission between the European Space Agency and the Chinese Space Agency, who work together on a spacecraft, and in April that's going to launch and look back at the Earth and study what's going on there to give us more data, more resource, and to help us understand what's happening.
Oh, it all sounds very exciting. I'm sure a lot of the people over here as well at the event must have been very amazed by the things that you've been doing. How do you feel about the event, by the way?
The event's been great, and I think what I really like about events like this is it's an opportunity for all sorts of different groups to come together. You know, we've all got that connection of being in Leicester and Leicestershire, also a connection to the university, and I think it really demonstrates the wide breadth of what we're up to. You know, opposite me, we've got people that are looking at the history of, you know, what happened in Leicester, or looking at ancient, you know, crafts and industries that were in Leicester, you know, and then here we've got, you know, cutting edge of space and outside of our own planet. But everyone is working towards understanding our planet, our place, humanity, and that might come from different angles, but it's all working towards that same goal of improving our understanding of our own universe, understanding of how we behave. And for me, that's really exciting to see how can we engage with this, how can we share these amazing stories with people, and also with each other. You know, I get a chance to meet cool people that are doing amazing stuff, as well as all the people that can come and visit and see what the university's been up to. So this sort of event is really exciting for me.
It's always lovely when you come together and see different perspectives from all around.
I always think the thing is about sharing, regardless of what people are doing. Doing things on your own and keeping it to yourself, that's dull. That's not what anyone really wants to do. It's all about sharing and using that to benefit. And that can come in different ways. That can be giving away free resources that people can use. It can be informing people about things they might need to do or might be interested in. Or it might even be, you know, taking that commercialized approach and supporting the economy and generally improving society around you. There's a whole different ways that we can get together. But that only works by sharing, by collaborating, by doing the work and then giving that access to people and helping people get engaged and involved with what's going on. Without that sort of collaboration, we don't get anywhere. So that's why I think events like this are really, really important to give people opportunity to do that.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Pretty good, pretty good, yeah. I'm just going to start by asking you your name and what you're doing here today.
So my name is Sean Dudley, and I'm here today on behalf of the St. Philip's Centre.
Oh, okay. St. Philip's Centre, what do they do?
So St. Philip Centre is an organisation that helps bring together people from different religious backgrounds in Leicester to have conversations, to learn more about the various religious beliefs and systems that are in that are present in the city. And it helps ultimately bring people together to live in a more cohesive, tolerant and unified way.
Wow. Community building. Sounds lovely. How did you get into that?
They've been doing an oral history project recently in the last couple of years, and I was asked to conduct some interviews with the participants, and from there I was asked to lead the oral history project moving forwards to help promote what the whole project was about, essentially, and get the outputs out there into the wider city and wider consciousness of people.
I see. So what is the project about?
So the project is called Living Together. Excuse me. And it's we've interviewed 103 people from across Leicester, from different backgrounds, from different parts of the world who have moved to Leicester, but also people who have lived in Leicester their whole lives. And we've essentially asked them about their experience here, their feelings towards life in Leicester, what's changed, what they like, what they don't like. We've asked them a little bit about their religious beliefs as well, if they have any. And ultimately, it's just been an exploration of how people feel about life here and how that varies from person to person, but also from people that come from different parts of the world. And it's been a really eye-opening and engaging experience because it's shed new light on how people feel about life here, and it's just been great to be involved with.
Yeah, sounds very enlightening, especially to hear about different perspectives from all around, different people in the area. Yeah, that sounds really exciting as well. Do you have any other exciting projects coming up?
So I personally work freelance, so I'm working with a few different organizations. I do a lot of work with the Leicestershire Historic Churches Trust, who are a great organization supporting the preservation of the fantastic churches that we have here in Leicestershire. I do a bit of work with some arts and cultural organizations as well. And it's, yeah, there's so much heritage and history and culture in here in Leicester and Leicestershire, that being in a freelance position where I can work with lots of different organisations and being able to come to events such as the Celebration of Heritage here today is just great, because it's a really strong community, and it's great to see people that I know and have worked with, but also to meet new people as well. It's a really nice event to be at.
I'm glad to hear that, Sean. It was lovely meeting you.
Thank you.
Do you have any final comments?
Thank you very much. No, just great thanks to the University of Leicester for hosting this event, and long may it continue.
Thank you very much.
Every single morning you'll hear me yell, hey, set fetching up along the line. He connects with my honey, then rings my bell, and this is what I say to baby mine. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey, hello, my ragtime girl. Send me a kiss by wire. Baby, my heart's on fire. If you refuse me, honey, you'll lose me. Then you'll be left alone. Oh, baby, telephone and tell me I'm your own.